We'll chant the invocation verse. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrun Karane, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate. In the past class, we saw that Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya has been telling us to give up the desire for Vitteshana and Putreshana. The Eshana means desire, and Vitta means wealth, and putra means child. So a desire for wealth and desire for opposite gender. This idea is what was presented in the first two verses. And he says that these are going to lead us to our demise. So instead of focusing on that, focus on Bhagwan. And rightly it is that when too much of attraction is there towards wealth and opposite gender, then that carries our time. It carries the weightage in our life. When that is there, we will not have time for spiritual practices. So it's normal, natural understanding. But it also doesn't mean that, you know, we carry on a little bit of it. You know, we can say, oh, we are a grihasthi. So as a grihasthi, I should not have a desire for wealth. I should not have a desire for opposite gender. You say you would not have too much desire, but at least little desire I should have. So that also you should not have. That is basically the point. Otherwise, what is the purpose of Bhaja Govindam? You cannot worship Bhagwan and then also have the thought of wealth in your mind. Then you are bargaining. That if I worship you, then you give me wealth. That doesn't work. It doesn't have. So what must we do? We must not give up the desire. We must not think about this idea that I have to give up the desire for wealth. I have to give up the desire for opposite gender. I have to focus on Bhaja Govindam. When the desire goes away, we will not even know. And we would have already cultivated the desire for spirituality. Cultivated the desire to walk in this path of spirituality. And that becomes the idea. So not giving too much importance to this desire. When the desire comes, we tell that this desire is temporary. It cannot give me lasting happiness. Therefore, I'm not going to give it too much priority. It is part and parcel of life, but it's not priority for me. The moment you shrug it to the side, what is going to happen? Your focus is going to be lost. The moment your focus is lost, the desire will go away. That is the idea. Now that idea is carried with a different understanding in the next shloka. So let us chant shloka number 4 and then we will see the meaning.
नलिनी दलगत जलमति तरलम् नीदलगत जलमति तरलम् तद्वज्जीवितमतिशय चपलम् अतिशय चपलम् विद्धि व्याध्यभिमानग्रस्तम् लोकं शोकहतं च समस्तम्
टुगेदर दिस टाइम
नलिनी दलगत जलमति तरलम् తద్వజ్జీవితమతిశయ చపలం విద్ధి వ్యాధ్యభిమానగ్రస్తం లోకం శోకహతం చ సమస్తం భజ గోవిందం భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ మూఢమతే.
సో అ వెరీ వివిడ్ పిక్చర్ వీ కెన్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ అవర్ మైండ్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఆది శంకరాచార్య హస్ డన్. సో నలిని ఇస్ అ ఫ్లవర్, అ లోటస్. దళ ఇస్ ద లీఫ్, ద లోటస్ లీవ్స్ దట్ ఇస్ స్ప్రెడ్ అరౌండ్. నలిని దళ గత, గత గాన్ వాట్ జల. సో ద వాటర్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆన్ ద టాప్ ఆఫ్ ద పెటల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లోటస్, దట్ లీవ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లోటస్, ఇట్ ఈస్ తరలం. తరలం మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఇట్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఇస్ వెరీ అన్సర్టన్, ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఫికల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ టెంపరీ. యూ నెవర్ నో వెన్ దట్ వాటర్ విల్ డ్రాప్ అండ్ ఇట్ విల్ బి నో ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ అట్ ఆల్. అండ్ యూ సీన్ రైట్, బికాస్ ద వే ద వాట్ యూ కాల్ ద పెటల్ ఇస్, it doesn't, the water doesn't stick to it like how it sticks to our hand. So even if you do this, still there will be a little bit of water residue. But a little bit of wind comes and it will knock the whole water away. There will be no existence at all. People won't even know there was water droplet on there. That is how fickle this water droplet is. And doesn't have to be just a wind. Sun rises, the water itself will evaporate and its existence again will be gone. So how temporary, how small is this? If you can understand that, then he says tadvat jivitam. Jivitam, our life, our way of living, our livelihood is similar to that. Tadvat, it is atishaya chapalam, it is very chapala, very fickle, very temporary. So if you look at our life itself, we will see that as a human being, you think about it, that we live a span of 80 years average. And in that 80 years of average, you know, people split up the time. 15 years of age, the first 15 years, it's simply just wasted. Not saying that it is, you know, wasted in wrong ways, but it is not, you don't know what life really means in those 15 years. Whatever parents are telling you, whatever you are seeing outside, you're just completely attracted by those things. And you think that that's how the life is. And then when you get to high school age, college age, you start figuring out, okay, what I want to do with my life? How will I live forward? That's when you start thinking and developing this idea. So that 15 years, gone. And then you take about 15 more years of the later portion of your life. It is also similar. It is filled with illness. So even the desires that you may have, you may not be able to fulfill. Because you have to go to doctors, you have to take medicine, then certain days you have to be in the hospital. All of this time has become just geared towards these. And your movement also is become limited. You can only function and you have to be dependent on so many people. So in this span of 80 years, 30 years are gone, 50 years left, of the life that you can imagine to be a good and you can actually do something. 50 years. But then you have to cut the 50 years into the time we take for sleep, time we take to bath, all that, because you can't do any action, you can't do anything out of it. So you say, take 10 hours, I think is sufficient of the day. Cut down 50 into half. You have 25 years left of your life. Of the 25 years, you take about 1/4 down for your work. Because if you're working, you're not really doing, unless you're a social worker or something where you think you're, you know, serving the society in another way, then also it is a work. So you cut down about 10 more years, about 15 years of life where you have something you can do meaningful. And that life we spend abhimanagrastam. So Vidhi, Adi Shankaracharya says, Vidhi, no, Vyadhi Abhimana Grastam. A life is filled with Vyadhi, disease, illness, sorrow, and Abhimana Grastam has been captured, Grastam, captured, taken over by Abhimana. This is how our jivan goes. This is how our life goes. Lokam shokahatam cha samastam. This entire world, samastam, everywhere you will find it this way. That it is shokahatam. It has been affected by sorrow. And lokam can mean the whole world, or lokam can mean people of the world. Either way is applicable. So basic idea is that that small span of life that we have, 80 years you take or 15 years you take, whatever rationale you want to give, that time period we force ourselves, or we put ourselves into just focusing on our ego and our limited tendencies, and we waste our life. Waste the human birth that has been given to us. Such a crime we commit. And we think to ourselves that if I don't accomplish this life, I have more lives to come. But our scriptures, and this was a very big shock for me when I had found out, our scriptures say that our next life as a human birth is not a guarantee. It is not a guarantee. Even if you do thousands of punya in this birth, it is not a guarantee that next birth you will be born as a human being. There's a very nice analogy that was given, is that if there is somebody, if there's a blind turtle who is at the bottom of the ocean, all the way at the bottom of the ocean, and that blind turtle, you have seen a yoke, that wooden thing which they tie on an animal's neck, and then they use it to, you know, graze that animal, and like a cow, they put that and then they make sure that the animal is taken. So it is like a circular thing that is on there. So when you take that wooden yoke, put it on the surface of the ocean, okay, and the likelihood of that blind turtle swimming all the way up to the top and putting its head out of that yoke is the possibility of human birth. So think about how precious our human life is, and what do? We waste it. We waste it on blindless pursuit, which we think we want, But certain of these pursuits, we are finding ourselves that they have been forced upon me from childhood, or they have been forced upon me by the neighbors, by the society, by how I want myself to be lived or to be perceived by the whole world. And we don't utilize that time for our spiritual sadhana. So, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam, govindam bhaja. So, utilize that time for this. Otherwise, it is gone. It is waste. And then, however many different yonis we have to go through, different births we would have to go through, then only we will be able to get human birth again. So therefore, we must really see the importance of human life. You probably have heard this analogy, or not analogy, but this idea of what is the importance of 1 year. If somebody has asked you, if you want to know the importance of 1 year, then you must go and ask a student who failed and is now to repeat that year again. How that person would feel. I have to take the same classes again, go through all the same teachers. And if that person had failed for small marks, small percentage, and how he would shoot himself to think that if I had just practiced little more, studied little more, given more effort in this area, I would have passed it. I would have been in a different class with all my friends, enjoying. But now I have to be repeating the whole year. If somebody wants to understand the importance of 1 month, what is the importance of 1 month? Then they should ask the mother whose baby was born premature and passed away, a month early. Ask the sorrow of that mother. And you'll realize that if that baby had been in the womb for 1 month, if she had not that sickness or whatever was the condition, the baby would have been just fine. And the realization comes of that 1 month. And then if somebody wants to know the importance of 1 day, then they should ask a newspaper editor. A person who puts on the headlines, and one mistake he does, all the papers are printed. You can't carry it back now. A day made that life different. Or a headline which came a day late, and the competing newspaper got the headline before you did. Importance of 1 day is realized. Importance of 1 hour. Ask a factory worker or a factory owner who has to make sure that the production happens every hour. No machines are shut. Because if you shut down the machine, your productions will be low. And then those suppliers will ask, I asked you for this much. If I had kept the machines on, or if there was no downtime, I would have made my timeline. If you want to know the importance of 1 minute. So for 1 minute, you ask the person who has seen the plane that has just flown by, or a bus or a train that just was missed because they reached a minute late to the station or reached a minute late to the check-in counter. You ask that importance of a minute. You ask the importance of a second. to the person who has nearly seen the accident and was saved from that accident. If I had just been in that situation, I would have been in the car accident. And luckily I got saved. And if you want to know the importance of 1/100th of a second, then you ask an athlete who came second or who got the silver medal in Olympics. You probably have seen people running cross country or track, and they think they're in the lead. And then somebody comes from the back and takes over them. I've seen some videos like that. You know, people are crying on the ground, "If I had not slacked off." Similarly is this idea that life has been given to me to cherish and to worship Bhagwan. I have just wasted it. Just let it pass by, slip through my hands, thinking that I will have another birth to enjoy, to do all the things that I want to do. It can never be fulfilled this way. Therefore, we must really utilize the time that we have for the worship of Bhagwan, to make sure that our sadhana are consistent. Not that we take up a sadhana today and then drop it tomorrow. Because then what happens is, it is like a bucket which is filled with dirt. You take a little bit and then you wash it and you let it sit again. Again, more dirt comes and piles up. But from that water or that bucket, which is always consistently having a flowing water, will remove all the dirt along with it. So that consistency in our sadhana has to be there, and we must realize that. And other pursuits in life will never result a concrete thing for us, will never result into a permanent happiness for us. But a little effort of our sadhana, of our practice for the spiritual path, even if we fail at certain point, it becomes Bhagwan's responsibility to come and support us. So he will never let us go because we have been his devotee. But with that consistency also has to be there. Otherwise, you know, we'll say, "I did puja one day. Next day I expected Bhagwan will give me the phala of the puja." No, it doesn't happen that way. Our consistent effort, and then where we fail or where our effort has ended, his grace begins. And that is where we see the benefits of it. So we must realize this idea that life is very short, and we must take the opportunity that it gives us to practice our spiritual sadhana. Yesterday, we had a guest come over at our house, and they were sharing this very interesting, or not interesting, but a very sudden death situation that happened. And it was a little bit shocking also when I had heard that there was a boy who had a peanut allergy. Like any other child had a peanut allergy, but his allergy was very severe. That he came home once from his gym or something, and he must have smelt this allergy, meaning the peanut smell. And it became so severe that he went into cardiac arrest. He didn't have his EpiPen with him, so he couldn't inject himself. And he passed away. A boy at an age of 20, 22. We say that I'm young, but we don't realize that we don't know when the life will end. So So it was really shocking to hear that. In Yaksha Prashna, which is the question answer between Yudhishthir and Yaksha, Yaksha asks Yudhishthir, what is the most shocking thing? What is the most shocking thing? So Yudhishthir answers, says that the shocking thing is that people, knowing that death is near the corner, still think that they are going to live on. People go to, a wake or to a funeral where they see, this dead person. And coming out of there, they have this in their notion that this will not happen to them. Or they have this feeling that something like this will not happen to me. Oh, this person died because of lung cancer. He was smoking a lot. I do not smoke. I will not die like this. But we don't know when our life will end. This is how short and how fickle our life is. Atishay chapalam. So because it is Atishay chapalam, we must put that effort towards Bhaja Govindam. Now Bhagavan explains with this next shloka that those who place their effort in other things, what really happens to them? So let's look at this shloka. Yavad vitto parjana saktah. Vitto parjana saktah. Tavan nij parivaro raktah. Paschajivati jar jar dehe. Vartam kopina prachati gehe. This time together. Yavadvitto parjana saktah. Tavannij parivaro raktah. Paschajivati jar jar dehe. Vartam kopina pruchhati gehe. Bhaja govindam, govindam bhaja mudhamate. Yavat, so long, vittah uparjana saktah. Saktah, capable. Uparjana, of earning, of getting. Vitta, wealth. So long you are able to earn wealth or to bring money in the house, tavat nija parivarah raktah. Till that time, the family that you have, or so-called family, is going to be attached to you. Till you are able to bring wealth at home, they will all be attached to you. They will all look after you. Paschat, once you are done, you come to the stage of retirement. Paschat jivati jar jar dehe. Then you come to the stage of life where your body, you are just in a body which is decaying, and you are living in that old age. Vartam kopina prichati gehe. In the house, na prichati vartam api. Nobody in the house will even look after your welfare. Nobody will even ask how you are doing once you are not able to earn and you are just living. And this is the truth he is speaking at that time. So if it is that time, now it is just multifolded. It is happening in a huge amount. So mentality doesn't change. We think that, oh, what happened in that time is different, now is different. No, mentality of a human being does not change. So here that mentality is that if you have certain utility to yourself, then people will appreciate you. You lose the utility, everybody will run away from you. Your children, a father who earns for the family, says, I'm going to make sure that I earn and then I will give it out to children. Children, they will take it and then say, what? Father, you're on your own now. There was like one story where this family had a boy and a daughter. And the boy was cared for so much, was given all the things necessary. But the girl was not cared as much. The things that boy asked for, he got. The things that the girl asked for, didn't get. So what are you going to do? As it is, you're going to get married and you're going to go to your husband's place. At that time, you go and ask him whatever you'd like. We don't have some things for you. But we have kept everything for our son because he is going to take care of us in our old age. The daughter, she went, she got married. Lucky for her, she was married in a good family. But she got good samskara there also. But the boy, he found an opportunity, went to America, would come in the beginning time, but then he left and he didn't show up at all. Father passed away. No number, no return address. Nobody knows where he is. The daughter did all the last rites. Mother passed away. Nothing. So that son, which they were dependent on, that they will take care, didn't come into any aid. Just left. I was in St. Louis, and I was just giving this simple example. That, you know, why put so much effort in building a house and making sure that house is also good and everything? And this person didn't get an idea. So he came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, the reason why I'm putting effort into this house is because I want to make sure that my child will get the best. So he or she doesn't have to struggle the way I struggled. But I didn't say this to that man, but I was thinking to myself, you're binding that person to your expectation and to your limitation that they should stay in this house only. And they should take care of you. This is how overly dependent people become. I'm not saying that, you know, when a child takes care of a father or a mother, they shouldn't, and they should be completely independent. Now, if there is a child who is able to take care of you, you do. But to have an expectation that they will take care of me, not possible. If they do, then consider it is your punya that is coming into fruit, that is giving you a good result. There was one old man. This old man, you know, had three sons, all three now married, and they have their own livelihood, they're living. Big house, so they're able to stay all under one roof. Father, old, retired, not much wealth of his own. But when he was earning, he was getting good respect. Now, nobody respects him. Just they've thrown him to the side, to the curb, and whatever he would ask, they would not even fulfill them. He says, I want to eat today palak paneer. He says, no paneer today because paneer is becoming too expensive. But the husband says, today let's make paneer makhani. Oh, yes, let us get it. So then they would make. So like that, he would see all these discrimination happening. So he went to one Mahatma. And he told this Mahatma that, you know, I'm an old person now. I have only a few years left. And my children, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-laws, they don't respect me. What should I do where I can get at least nice, peaceful treatment before I pass away? I'm not expecting anything more from them. Just expecting that, what can I do that they will treat me well till I pass away? So this Mahatma asked, do you have some money? He says, yeah, but not a lot of money. Just simple savings that I have of like 1 lakh rupees or so. He says, okay, perfect, you give me that. Mahatma says, so he gave that to Mahatma. Mahatma said to his disciple, here, convert these 1 lakh rupee into gold and get some gold coins. And then he places the coin, the pots in front of him. And he says, here, these are 3 pots, because you have 3 sons, 3 pots of gold. He says, oh, I didn't realize I had this much wealth, the old man. He says, no, you don't have this much wealth. He says, just look inside the gold coin. He says, all of them were filled with sand. Just on the top, he had covered it with gold coins. And then the Mahatma told him, every single day, all you have to do is put 1 coin in each jar. And you should make sound also. Ching! Like that sound should come. So he brought these gold pots pot filled with gold in the house. You know, he would drop 1 each day and the sound would be heard. Everybody would be curious. What is this? So they would come and check inside out. And they would see that, oh, old man has gold. We never realized he had this much income. All of a sudden, the talk started within the brothers and what they can do to make sure that, you know, they get the wealth from the old man. So the daughter-in-laws, then they started coming into the old man's room. Father, would you like some tea or coffee? The father-in-law says, why don't you bring both? Tea also, coffee also. Then little later, again another daughter-in-law comes. Father, would you like tea and coffee? There's no tea and coffee I had, you bring me some milk. And like that, he started demanding whatever he wanted. And he lived for a little bit, passed away. And all these people were thinking, you know, they had all this gold coin and then he realizes it was nothing but filled with sand. So in order for you to get things also done, you needed that wealth. So this is the idea or the, what do you call, the brutal truth of this world. Those people that we thought we can rely upon, we also cannot rely upon. Till our utility is there, we are useful. Till the utility is gone, we have lost any value to the family. This is the truth that we must accept. But there is no utility when it comes to Bhagwan. You worship Bhagwan, do bhaja govindam. He comes to help even if we have not been consistent. At least some bhajan we have done, some connection we have built, he will come and help. But we must try, we must put that effort. This is the idea. There is little more thought into this. I will share with our next class. But this is also a very interesting topic, and it's a very at hand topic. This is not something that we cannot apply or we don't see. It's a truth that is right in front of us. So we shall explore a little more of this idea at our next class. Sure. Can we do the Purnamada and then we can stand by the Gurudev's photo and then we can take? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.